With it. Hello, welcome to The Honest Wargamer. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to a Sunday, our first Sunday hobby hangout before we chill in the new year. And I know for a fact that it must be a brand new year and it must be a chill hobby hangout because I've changed my paint water. You can see all the way through to the bottom, which is probably the first time in about 2 months you've been able to do so. So very, very excited about that. Welcome everyone in the Twitch chat. And I'm joined by Mr. John. They say he got up 5 minutes ago, Scrivens. Hi, John, how are you?
I'm all right. It was actually about 50 minutes ago, and I'm really confused, Rob. I didn't think they did that clear Coke that they released sort of 10, 20 years ago. So what is in your paint water? Because that can't just be paint water.
Just water. It's not even paint water. Coke. It's just quality H2O from the tap. Council pop, as they call it. Also, Beth the Dragon, can I just say thanks very much for subscribing. That's very nice.
Thank you. Awesome.
And I'd also like to ask WapWap92 to fuck off, because she says, Rob, have you got a lazy eye? I never noticed. I don't think I've got a lazy eye. I'm worried.
You don't have a lazy bone in your body, Rob. Don't listen to the nasty people in the chat. Guys, so can you please be nice to the streamers, please?
That's a reference joke that John's thrown in from about 2.5 years ago that even then was a real deep cut. And at this stage is... almost...
It's what I do. I only do deep cuts, mate.
Okay. Morning to Owen in the chat. Mr. Tumnus, I haven't seen you in a while. I hope you're very well. K-Dred, what up? K-Dred scared me. He did one of those funny Facebook posts the other day where he's like, I'm quitting in a Facebook post.
Oh, I saw that. I was like, well, I actually started reading it because I was like, this sounds really deep. And then it turns out it's just him being him.
He was trolling us. He was like, I'm quitting the hobby. You're always taking... And it went into a list of things that sound like just an adventure. So it made me laugh. Wargaming Dad, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Big love to you. Big Goldfish. Oh, I miss you, buddy. I hope to see you soon.
Oh, fish.
I feared a monkey. It's great seeing you. Beth the Dragon. Oh, no, Ben the Dragon. See, Ben and Beth the Dragon. I'm so sorry. You think I can't read, and you're correct. Welcome to getting your name wrong on The Honest Wargamer. It's early. So I'm a little wardens, but my son woke up early. Ooh, welcome to the team. MJ Pegasus is here. Liberator Man. Scott B. Coops. Oh, sorry again. Yes. How are you doing, James? Gabe. What up, Joe Cry? Nice. Nice. So I'm going to start doing some hobby, and I might update you with some stuff that's been going on this week from you guys, if that's okay. It's not. If you listen to the podcast, big love to my Hydro homies. I'm going to take a sip in your honor. But it might not be like an electric show full of information. But I will update you on some of the stuff that's happened. For instance, some of the 3D printing I've been doing. I know I've been talking about a lot at the minute, so it might annoy the crap out of you. But look at this little hobbit house. Oh, actually, you can't see the lid. Because it's green.
It's green.
That's hilarious.
Oh, amazing.
It's like that time I painted the Lord Change. However, there is the... I'll just get rid of that. It's just fucking thin up. So check out this hobby house, which is black, which is also super annoying and stressful. Not bad, actually. About £3 in materials on this, which is not
pretty
bad.
Cool.
Took about 11 hours. And I say that the printer is... the quality is pretty excellent, I feel like. Looks pretty good.
Does this mean you're outing yourself as Middle-earth curious then, Rob?
No, not at all. It looks gangster. Like, it looks like a little grot would live in here or something. I was like, that was amazing.
You got my hopes up, man. You got my hopes up. I was like, we're going to play some Warhammer Historicals together.
It's even inside, you guys won't be able to see this at all, but inside there's even a little library. There is a little library bookcase. There is a little lamp. It's actually really, really good. So super chill for that. And I'm going to answer a bunch of questions about that. You can't even read, Rob. Wow. I mean, that's true. This is on
the same company as those elven buildings that we've seen kind of floating around.
No, oh my god,
those are super detailed, aren't they?
Do you want it for £3? You could survive a whole week in Poland. Inferno storm. I feel you. That's why, I'm going to talk about this in detail in a moment. So if you've got any questions. Yeah. I would really like to ask about. I'm going to ask John how he is first while I get my paint on. Thank everyone on the Honest Wargamer Patreon. Anyone that stayed with us, supported us the entire time, even if you're in hard times and you can't now, and then, you know, any of that, you guys are fucking great. And everyone who joins us live, you guys are brilliant. John, you've been okay? What's been going on?
Yeah. I've been quite busy living the life of a man that stays at home. So I've been kind of taking the opportunity to get those horrible jobs that I really should have done probably in the first lockdown, but then lost steam. We're cleaning all the rooms because it's a whole flat of mess. Funnily enough, this room is actually all right at the moment, so it's quite nice. But it's just like that takes time, and doing a deep clean, because I haven't done any deep cleaning since the beginning of the year. It's just like, cool, I'll get that stuff done. It's not stuff I really want to be spending my time doing, but it needs to be done. So I'm trying to do it where I do a bit of everything each day now. So
yeah, okay, well, that makes sense. That makes sense. I think so. If you guys aren't aware, after Christmas and the new year, we're into new tier restrictions in the UK. So there's very little, like, you can't even really meet up with people from other households. You can go out, like, for a walk and stuff. But even then, I don't actually even think you can go out for a walk with someone from another household. So it has to be you and your support bubble, and that's it. So a lot of people locked in. And so the stream streak continues, John.
Yes.
That slice of American pie goodness every lunch, which is going to be fun. And some other things that I'd like to announce real quickly for some quick announcements is I'm going to bring back the breakfast battles as of next week. So I'm only going to do three, not five, mornings, but I'm going to do three breakfast battles a week. It's definitely Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday or Friday. I haven't yet decided. I'm just going to plan that out. So I'm going to start them probably like 9 a.m. British Standard Summertime, BST. So I'll be playing TTS games, AOS and 40k, probably more AOS, but I would like to do some 40k games as well, ultimately. So I'll be doing three of those a week. And unless, like, restrictions very quickly lift, I should be able to do those for the next couple of months while I'm in the background. I'm pretty set up now for stuff that I want to be doing. The printers are going to be going. I'll be doing terrain in some of my other time. I've written the packs and the other stuff that I need for the future. There's a couple of little videos I want to make and some video projects for stuff for the Super Series and the Arena generally. Busy. And there's also stuff like the WTC to prepare for, so there's still a lot of stuff kind of like going in the background, but it's been, I don't know about you guys, in whatever jobs you do, it's been so super hard to prep, because just before COVID started, we were prepping to be in so many different countries, we were doing coverage from both Age of Sigmar and 40k, and that required like us to like, we were doing a lot of investing in equipment. We're doing a lot of investing in like projects in the background, so like overlays and all those other things, and how they integrated into the technology. And then we finished those, but like they could have done with constant R&D, and we didn't really carry on with that because obviously you couldn't do anything. So now we're in a kind of like holding pattern with that, and it's kind of nice to know that I can hold on those projects for 2 or 3 months, if that makes sense, John.
Yeah, it's knowing you've got some sort of time frame as well, because just it being like every couple of weeks, you're just like, well, what am I doing after those 2 weeks? It's nice to have some sort of forward plan.
Yes, yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. So breakfast battles, I'm very excited. I'm pretty certain I'm going to put myself a Tempest Eye list together. That's what I've been very excited about, a load of Dwarves in and some Realm Lords. So I think, not Realm Lords, and some Hurricanes or whatnot. So I'm looking forward to doing that. I'm going to do myself a little Dwarden list for my first run out next week. And then I've got a bunch of other little lists that I would like to run as well. I'd like to try the Staliarchs list. There's a couple of Ossiarchs lists I'd like to run, which would be fun. I'd really like to play with some Death Guard as well, John. Obviously, that's not possible at the minute because we're waiting for the book. So I might do Harlequins instead for a while. Because there's some like finesse armies. Which would be quite fun to see on the tabletop. Very much looking forward to those. Right, what's everyone else in the chat doing? That's what I want to do. How are you all? And I hope you're well. Dave Fraser, who's done some great work with posting up his hobby progress on Twitter, says, I'm prepping for smashing my pile of shame. To get the year going with a bang, I've pulled a unit of 30 dudes out and splashed contrast all over them. You've got it, Dave Fraser. Let's get the year started.
Exactly.
Big Goldfish, I'm just going to call you later. That's what I'm going to do about getting sorted for WTC. Mr. Tumnus says, COVID has been rough. Working in IT projects, it all went mental from September on, was planning things, and second lockdown ended up with everything getting shelved and me being furloughed. It's been a tough one to keep the mental health in a good place, but hobby has seen me through. Yeah, and like I've always been able to keep my mental health in check by always having work, John. Whatever I'm working on, whatever's happening in my life, I can just carry on with my work. And that's always been my safe place is just doing work, which if you guys have kept track of me, you know I work a lot, but I like my work. So
just a little.
It's good. That's good. But that's that. Like, so when everything goes to shit, I get to go and do something fairly productive, which is useful for me. But that's my coping mechanism. If your coping mechanism is watching Netflix, eating chocolate, and lying in bed, then you are a hero, and I love you. So well done. What else is happening? Tom Whitbrook, listening while running. Oh, man. Go on. Pump those legs. Fucking hell. It's cold.
That's something I need to do, actually. Because I've not really gone out for the last 2 days. And just going out and stretching my legs, I feel like a piece of jelly right now. I'm just like,
yeah,
cool.
You need to go for them walks. Listen, it's all like the 1800s. We're all promenading nowadays. Yeah?
Yes.
We're having, like, soups and walks along the promenade. I was thinking of writing, like, a new society paper, just sitting out on a bench and watching different people kind of walk by. And be like, oh, you see Mrs. Jones is now with blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I'm so in for this. Can we just do Tory Rob's Twitter account should be that. If only that person could just do something correct.
Only that person could. Right, so nearly finishing Shadowsaw because Scott B. Going to start the Dread Pageant next, but only one more day off before work returns. Scott B., good luck with work and good luck with hobby. I hope it's going well. Fantastic guy, been playing TTS with Mamdan and trying to paint pink horrors. I mean, what a great time. That is two Canadian legends. I feel like a powerful Canadian force is being formed between Budtastic Guy and Mamdare. It kind of would be like, it's like The Boys. Have you watched The Boys, John?
Yes,
with Budtastic Guy being the cute guy who falls in love with the sparkly girl. And Mamdare, obviously, is the butcher.
Oh, God,
no, he's not the butcher. He's the Spanish one. That's what I'm going for. He's
the French one. Frenchie.
The French. Yeah,
the one's called Frenchie.
It's called Frenchie, and I still managed to... Whatever. Right, so Rabbit Buddy, I'm adding more layers to my more crusher converted from a Leviathan. I lost my paintbrush over Christmas, so it's not dry brushing. So if it's not dry brushing, it can't get done. Oh, Rabbit Bunny, I'm so sorry about your paintbrushes. Where did you lose them? How did you lose them? That's that's the start of a great story. I lost my paintbrushes in a freak tornado accident. What? Mr. Tumnus is working on his Death Guard ahead of the new codex. So excited about Smash that 8 Poxwalkers with contrast. Right, so that might be my first experience of contrast, John. Or at least I might do a wash, because there is no way I'm painting Poxwalkers. In fact, do you know what? I'm just categorically going to say I might do 10. But that's about as good as I'm going to do with Poxwalkers. They're not worth painting. That's what I say.
It's a shame that there isn't like an Age of Sigmar force that often uses lots of bodies that you could just proxy in that you've already got. Like plague monks or something, but you don't have plague monks at the moment, do you? So,
no, John, you're a bit quiet, babe.
Am I?
Your microphone.
Now. There we go. How about now?
That's better. Thanks so much.
Sorry, I had to move it so I could drink, and that's the problem.
Pete's about to go feed some ducks. Big love, Pete. Can we all just take a moment to show some love, Pete Pratt's way? He's just a very, very kind human being, as all of you are in the chat, and I just want you to. I just want him to get some love and shout-outs because he's just great. As is, sorry again. Stop hobby shaming me. I keep playing PlayStation rather than hobby. Buddy, that's fine. Don't worry. Do what you like. It's not a competition. If you don't ever want to paint again, fuck off. That's fine. Like, live your life. If you want to play PlayStation, live your best life. That's right. Fish, your butcher. I watched the Derry Girls cast on Bake Off recently. That was pretty funny. Oh, my God. I'm so excited for that. I might rewatch Derry Girls soon.
I never watched it.
Right, John, do you want to hear about my first week? I think it's about my first couple of weeks into the world of 3D printing.
Yes, because it moves quite quickly, I've discovered. Which
How do you
surprised
mean?
Me. Like, things actually get done at a relative pace, and kind of progress can be quite quick once you know what you're doing a little bit and have the basics.
Yeah, I'd say
up.
So. So I'd say after, so like you guys helped me raise all the money just before Christmas, so we're only about like 2 weeks in. Obviously, they had to get delivered and stuff, and I had to set them up. But in a week, let's call it a week. Let's be fair. In about a week, I've done a board's worth of terrain to what I think is a pretty good quality. And also size. Size is also one of those. it's not super important, but of course, always a little bit. So my first experience is the week. So just for clarity, these are using FDM printers, which are the plastic printers, which you kind of imagine they go across in layers and they build it up in layers. It costs about £240 for an Ender 3 Pro, which is what I bought. So an Ender 3 Pro. And they cost, and then to run a spool of the material that you use to print with, they're about £20 a spool. and 22 pounds of spool, and they're a kilogram of material. So the buildings I've been printing have been like, I'm trying to find something that we could all compare to. So footprint wise, about as big as a Sylvaneth Wildwood. Some are a little bit bigger, some are a little bit smaller. So let's just call it on average the size of a Sylvaneth Wildwood footprint. This one obviously isn't. This is about half of a Sylvaneth Wildwood, this little hobbit hole that I'm holding up in front of me here. In material cost, this has probably cost about £3. So it cost it took about 300 grams. 150 grams of material. And that equates to each 100 grams is about £2. So in total, about £3 to make this little hobbit hole, and then there's the roof on top, which you guys can't see because it's green, which is obviously stupid for presentation.
It does look good.
Yeah. But the thing that's super, like, so obviously that's cheap. Obviously, which slicer am I using? Right now I'm just using the Creality one, but actually after the show today, one of my jobs, as well as setting up for the breakfast battles and the other shows for the week, one of my jobs is to start training on a couple of other slices diagrams. So if you've got any suggestions, I'd love to hear it. Drop me a message. Does a kilogram of material translate into a kilogram of terrain? Effectively, it does. So I've managed to do from a spool and a half, so £30 worth of spool, I've done about a board's worth of terrain. There is a little bit of wastage because a couple of the prints failed and I messed up a little bit on some of the early stuff because obviously I'm just learning. So about £30 for what I would consider to be excellent terrain. Like, as in quality, as in once I've painted it up, it's going to look really, really nice. And I think that's the kind of the sticking point for me, John, here, in that the cost is obviously very reasonable as long as you've got the frontage, to like the money up front to get something like a printer. And I was luckily enough, thanks to everyone on the show.
Yes.
So, like, that's a big thank you to you guys. But cost-wise, which I think is really useful to know, it's taken me, I mean, you could go all out and get some scatter terrain and some other stuff. And so you could probably do a brilliant board for about £40, 40, maybe £50, which is cheaper than I was expecting it to come in at. I was expecting it to come out more like the £80 mark. And maybe as I go and do some other pieces of terrain, because they all vary, you'll end up with something that's a little bit like more pricey. A good example would be this hobbit hole. Actually, John, just hold the show a moment and let me just go back and grab another bit and I'll be back.
Yeah, so as you can see for me, guys, whilst he disappears, I've been busy painting a Mauler Fiend. I'm going for the classic World Eaters scheme. So I've gone, I experimented yesterday with the airbrush and actually did the red all-in airbrush, which was really kind of bizarre. I was like, this is far too easy. So I was like, cool, here we go. Boom. So I'm now doing all the really fun bit of the gold trim. But I'm doing Leadbelcher first, because I just, whenever I do some sort of gold, I always find that if I don't do a basic layer of some sort of thing like Leadbelcher underneath, it ends up just being really patchy and I just don't like it. So, oh, and look, Rob's back now, but here we go.
Okay, so this building that you guys can see here, so this house, I would say is a fairly, like, I would say it's a good sized terrain piece. I'd put it onto like medium. I wouldn't consider it to be a large one. But if you compare it to the Hobbit hole for size, kind of there. Now, the difference between the two is that when this was printed internally inside, it's where you can see inside the Hobbit hole, which is empty. Inside this house is all a big hexagon. So it's like, this is solid, like absolutely solid fucking brick. But obviously, you had to print all of those supports inside, which means it took longer and cost more in material. So that's another sort of like learned experience for me. So there's a whole bunch of sort of bits that you can build that are hollow, which is a much kind of like much better kind of like cost resource. Like, it's just more economical, basically.
Yeah. Are they stronger for it though? Would you say?
Oh yeah, this is a fucking rock. This is a rock. I might print a few more of these in case like everything gets a bit wild around here. Like, I reckon I put a few of these around me, I could stop all the bows and arrows, all the arrows at least, from getting me in the rampant bow crime. It's like some solid armor right there.
Can you print arrows? Can you print arrows for your bow?
Yeah, well, maybe. Anyway, so my point is that was a little bit more expensive. So this ran about for 350 grams. So that would be about £7 basically for this building, which isn't super expensive. But I would like obviously to bring the cost down there. So yeah. Overall, my experiences with that Ender 3 Pro and doing terrain for gaming, I would say I couldn't recommend it more, which is kind of one of the things that I wanted to talk about on the show. And one of the reasons I wanted to get them is because I wanted to like be able to have that conversation with everyone as well. Like, how economical is this? Because ultimately, I don't know what sort of terrain you can buy for 240 quid for a printer. And obviously, so I've got four of those running full time, right? So it's much quicker for me to get stuff done than it would be for yourself. So if you're on a deadline, then it's not overly useful if you're on a deadline. But if you're not on a deadline, like I am, which I am, then so because I've done a board in a week, so it should only take me another 7 weeks, and I'll have eight boards of terrain.
And then you've got to paint them, right? Or do you paint them whilst the other printing then?
Yeah, exactly. That's going to be my process. So I thought I'd just do a whole board, and then I'd just move on, and then I'd let the printers do their job while I moved on and did the next board. So that's pretty functional, really. So now that's kind of like against a backdrop of what someone like Diadrin is doing. So if you go and follow Diadrin's Instagram, if you want to link it in there, yeah. So he's number one. He's a great painter. So that's true. Also a great dude. But he's also been like printing out 3D parts to kitbash into his army, which is something that the resin printer, which we raised over Christmas, I haven't yet touched because I'm a little bit more scared of that, to be honest, John. It costs loads more money. So I've ordered like a few more extra parts. There's some like protective screens that you can buy to put over the screen that it builds on. So that's using resin material. So really, my process is going to be the FDMs are going to bang out terrain all day long. And they could do miniature stuff as well, probably to like some degree of efficacy, but I don't really want to do that. And then the resin ones are going to be just for miniatures. So I'll have something on that for you in a couple of weeks on how I feel about it. You can get lost. Are you running the machines and learning as you go? And is it a steep learning curve or straightforward? I think you could spend an afternoon watching the right YouTube videos, which I might try and curate into like a set that I've watched, and I think you could be good to go in an afternoon of watching. It's so easy. It really is so easy. Like, it would be an afternoon. You don't need to know anything overly complicated. You just have to understand how it works. The tutorials will take you through how it works. They're not very boring. They're good YouTube videos. They've got like the flash cuts and all that other stuff, which is super fun. So it's super easy. So James, I was going to drop you a message about that, actually. Really easy. I reckon about an afternoon, and then you could be printing stuff. And what Diadrin's doing is he's using his FDM printer, which is the plastic one I'm using for terrain, to also do kitbash bits. So he's done some awesome little barrels to put on his carriage and overlords and whatnot. It's very, very reasonable. Like, my only really review is, it's so reasonable, I really don't see why that isn't probably your next hobby purchase. As for a resin printer, I don't have anything to say about that yet. Like, so I'll talk about that in the future. It's quite scary. That's all I'm going to say.
It's like leveling up. Next level for you.
When you get to painting, will you be doing a wash scrub of it or straight to primer? Well, so because a couple of the early prints I didn't nail, and that's really to do with me, and to answer Owen's question a little bit more, I think one of the things you could do is you can really, really hone in on your settings on your FDM printer. So there are loads of YouTube tutorials of people going wet. Like, if you just want to be a kid who puts an SD card in with a print and presses print, it's pretty simple. You level your bed, you make sure the thing's not fucked, and it'll pretty much print you something, yeah? Which is great, yeah? And then, like, if you're doing something like terrain that you can muck up a little bit, you're in a really good spot. If you want to get really detailed and make it, like, hyper-precise, then I think what you can do is you can go down a rabbit hole of, like, perfectionism, which is really great as well. So, like, there's an end point of getting very, very good with that. So, like, that'll be a journey for me. But I just thought I wanted to talk about it, John, because, like, it's something that's really hobby-related. And I honestly don't think I could suggest it more for some hobbyists. Fairly quiet as well. Like, if you had it in a back room or a kitchen or something. I'm not a very quiet person, so the noise didn't overly affect me. Like, it doesn't bother me. And interestingly, the past couple of days, yesterday while we were live, if you guys were watching the live coverage, I had a printer in the same room. Like, it's there. I can almost touch it. In the same room as me, and you guys didn't hear it.
Oh, wow.
That's because the microphones are fairly good as well. They're built for, like, being in the middle of, like, a loud fucking gaming environment. So there's a duality to that. But I wouldn't say it didn't bother me, is how I put it. Have you had one breakdown yet? Yes. One of the ones that were delivered actually just didn't work on delivery. And I managed to fix that problem now. One of them has just broken down. And have a failed print with it, but I think that there's nothing too complicated other than I need to fix the nozzle. You can buy a whole bunch of nozzles for like £5 or something, like super cheap. So like, it does require you to become a bit of an engineer, but like I say, I've had at least two of them printing for more than 100 hours already, and I've only had one breakdown so far, so that feels pretty good. And like I said, I think that there's a whole bunch of ways you can make them better. So
you're making me jealous now.
Well, it's not meant to be jealous. It's more meant to be like, because I know Mamdeh, me and him were talking yesterday, and he's gone and picked himself an FDM printer up.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those things where if you like bases are a good example, terrain pieces. You know how sometimes you want to like kitbash your base, and so maybe like you go buy a bunch of rocks or. Idneth Deepkin are a good example of one, or even Carriage and Overlords. Some people you see get plinths, or whatever that is. I'm not saying buy a £250 printer to make plinths, but as a hobbyist, it's going to give you so many options to add little bits in instead of buying them. And you could just buy them. It's probably... Maybe it's about the same.
So maybe it's something that clubs do. So my local club, we were talking about this in our chat, about all chipping in and buying one so that we could just produce stuff when and if we needed it for our tables or one person needed stuff.
I mean, that's the thing that I've seen. I've seen people like produce like Necromunda boards and those bits of sorts of terrain because I've been building them for obviously war games. So like quite large pieces again, sort of like for sale. Yeah. There's my hand. It's about as large as that.
And so... you've got quite big hands.
That's what they all say.
Big gloves.
There's against a Vallejo bottle, so you can kind of see the scale. Realistically, they're very, very... I've been hanging out with James too much, saying realistically too much. Hey, Carp Hunter, Happy New Year. Thanks very much. Big love to you over on YouTube. That is really all I've got to say about it, unless anyone's got any questions. Learning experiences are just take your time with them. Give yourselves a couple of YouTube tutorials and understand the process of it. Building it will be really useful for you to understand what it is as well. I came into this knowing absolutely nothing, basically. I think it's like anything, John. Like,
yep.
Probably if you spend a couple of months at it as your hobby, you can probably get to the point where you can like riff on a guitar. Like, you know, you can play a couple of tunes, you can riff. Like, you could probably spend a few years on it and you could probably become like a virtuoso and like really understand the whole process. So it really depends what you want to do. I quite like the idea of being fairly free from like the production constraints of the production constraints of like how, well, like money, like, you know, they're there now and they're printed terrain. So it feels like, doesn't feel like they're free, because I know they're not, because you have to buy the materials and stuff, but it does feel very cheap comparatively.
It's not as much of a consideration of kind of looking at terrain and going, well, that's a 60 quid piece of terrain,
and I've got
to build it, and it's just like, yeah. To me, that suddenly becomes less of an argument. You don't even have to kind of discuss with yourself and go, right, well, I need to have 300 quid put to one side for this table. In reality, you're now just like, cool, 50, 60 quid done. Quite a saving.
It's very, with the
initial,
very good.
Even with the initial investment, it still will pay for itself quite quickly.
Mm-hmm. So I haven't yet got round to painting. So I was waiting until I got the whole board done. And then I'm just going to colour match it with a mat that we have on order. So we've got a bunch of mats coming and stuff. So I'm just going to colour match this way until it fits. Which is going to be super fun. MJ Pegasus is right. The creative control is probably the most important part. Because that's where I kind of get lost now. because the number of designs out there is outrageous.
Almost too much choice. It's got to that point now.
Too much choice. There's probably more designs out there than you have time to print, let alone paint, which is perfect for the kind of like group we're in, right? Because we buy too much miniatures anyway. Now you can print too many miniatures. Right, so to move on, we've got a question from Kelbar. Oh, wait, Alan Smith. I used my Ender recently to print out a bunch of metal tiles for floors and walls of my Necromunda 40k urban board. I mean, they're brilliant for little bits like that. Like, if you wanted to print a bunch of shields, let's say, like, you wanted storm shields, you wouldn't have to buy a bunch of kits. That could be a thing. You could probably do something like... Too small is probably an issue, but you could... Do you ever see those, like, outrageous... conversions, John, where someone uses like Nagash's sword or you know, or like
print
endless...
sword quicker, couldn't you?
Yeah. You could do those. Barrels and tankards, you could do those all day. So Kelbar's got a question. We're chatting with a friend online. He believes Stormcast failing being AOS Space Marines that Games Workshop wanted them to be. I kind of agree. Are we wrong in this view? We are checking with a friend online. We believe Stormcast fail in being AOS Space Marines that Games Workshop wanted them to be. I think the difference is, Kelbar, is that they are fundamentally different. We've talked about this a little bit on the show before, John. I don't know if you remember.
Was quite a while back, wasn't it?
Yeah, because Space Marines have no hope. So the very interesting... So Space Marines are effectively the last-ditch line of defense against all of the horrors in the universe. They're not on a path to victory. They're on a holding pattern against defeat, if you're talking narratively. However...
Yes.
Stormcast are different. Stormcast are on the front edge of a driving force of... they've already won. They're on the backdrop of winning. They've reclaimed huge swaths of this chaos-infested wasteland for Sigmar. They've established bastions. They've established cities. They've reintroduced culture. So there's a duality in the fact that they... In that the Space Marines have failed miserably. And like that failure is persistent. And it's because their cultures are different as well. There is a totalitarianism into the Stormcast culture, but there's also like a huge level of like integration. They intentionally have developed societies and cities that allow some of them are a little bit fashy, but like a whole bunch of them have like developed like these big cosmopolitan societies where pretty much everyone's okay. Like you can like pretty much love every whatever religion or credos or god you really want to worship, as long as it's not chaos, then you're good. Whereas Space Marines and the Imperium is the exact, not the exact opposite, but it's the other side of that, and it is like this totalitarian like fascist regime, and so there is a significant difference between the two, which I think is quite good, and I like that difference. I don't know about you, John.
Yeah, like otherwise if it was literally just copy paste and put Space Marines into Sigmar, there would be no merit to them. Whilst at least there's the kind of differences to them and like the elements of things like them being reforged, it gives them a completely different mechanic in the narrative to me, which I think is kind of interesting. Like them losing a bit of themselves each time they're reforged, I liked, because it's that kind of added tragedy, kind of, but in a different kind of tragedy to a Space Marine where they are just literally told what to do and indoctrinated into it all.
Yeah, it's also true. And also Space Marines are like, while Space Marines come from like, you know, they've passed a billion trials and they're one of 1,000 of 1 of 1,000 that made it through all of the processes of the horror that it takes to become a Space Marine, it's different for the Stormcast. Stormcast were chosen. They were heroes that in of their own right ascended to some sort of like level of nobility. And actually, like, so their souls are also, like, more pure, or they're just stronger or brighter, as we saw from the narrative from the Nagash book, where Nagash was talking about, well, Nagash was jealous of Sigmar and had said, "You stole the greatest souls from me." So Nagash was, like, all humpty about how good the souls were that Sigmar stole. So, like, there's, again, that's a very different kind of, like, ethos and storyline, really.
And Sigmar kind of homogenizes them as well by stripping them of any culture, race, or anything. They end up just being a Stormcast, don't they?
Yeah. And also Space Marines have been through, like, there's basically not been anyone new on the Age of Sigmar project since pretty much inception. Pretty much been led from Phil Kelly start to finish. as far as I'm aware. If that's wrong, then that's wrong. But I'm pretty certain I'm spot on with that. In which case, that gives us like a really interesting insight, because if you take long-standing franchises, John, you're a massive comic book fan. And I know you guys out there will like all sorts of fandoms and franchises, so you pick your favorite. As we've seen them go through time, we've seen iterations, we've seen different people's takes on them. This is my version of the Joker. This is my version of Batman. This is my version of whatever it might be.
And exactly.
I think we're seeing a new generation's take on Space Marines. Whether or not that ends up being like the purists Space Marine, you know, like we talk a lot at the minute about how Space Marines are becoming these superhero characters as opposed to what they once were, which was like an ironic jab at like police states effectively, which is where they started out, and really that defines the tone of the generation, like, or the generations. Oh, Baucho, that's £8 to the show, buddy. Big love to
fantastic.
You. Don't forget, by the way, just a quick note for anyone listening at home, anyone who subscribes either on Patreon or on Twitch, I'm going to be giving away one piece of terrain a month to someone from Twitch and one piece of terrain to someone from Patreon. And then also when I get the model bit up and running, I'm also going to be giving a model away to someone on Twitch and model away to someone on Patreon. That shouldn't have been so difficult to explain, but it really was. My
brain didn't work. You got that, though. You got
yeah.
that.
And that's me as a massive thank you to anyone who helped us like generate those over Christmas. So basically four people are going to win prizes over the space of a month. And I'll do that every month, which is super fun. I'm not going to paint them because, number one, much better if you paint yourselves. Number two, obviously, I'm terrible at painting. Third, I'm not doing it. I can't be asked. So, like...
at least you're being honest. It's almost like that's the name of the show or something.
Yeah, but Marcus Rock, the point I was trying to make, sorry, about Chode, big love to you. Thank you so much. Really, really appreciate it. That's almost a more printer spool, so that's gorgeous. So, yeah, to cut to the short of it, like, how do you feel about the new Twitch chat? And, John, how do you feel about this iteration of Space Marines? How do you feel about, like, this take on Space Marines? The Primaris seem, to me, far more heroic than we've seen them be in the past.
It basically, from my kind of my big take from them is like reading, was it Shad Sword of Secrets that Phil Kelly wrote? It was very much, here's a bunch of Primaris Marines, and they have this duality of they are like for the Emperor and also praise the Omnisar. And I just was like, no, this isn't clicking, but it's because I'm someone that read the narrative in the 90s and my head is kind of almost kind of fused that this is how Space Marines are. So it's a step change. And I don't like the fact that they are these kind of, they basically felt like clone troopers from Star Wars. That they've got very little character to them because they are fresh.
Don't you
fresh
disrespect Star Wars on this channel, John? Don't you dare.
Just, it felt like that. And it was like, I don't know. I need to wait and see. But I think the problem is that they've kind of not really defined and done too much of story-wise around the Primaris stuff for me to kind of engorge myself on. And when they have, they've then gone, right, we're going to reprint this with a different timeline into it. So I'm just, at the moment, I'm a bit apprehensive to kind of consider them as faithful to the cause in a narrative sense, because I just, they haven't earned it yet.
Okay.
Especially fair. From a Dark Angels perspective, there's some that have got into the inner circle, but they're only in an inner, they're not in the inner circle. So
Scott B.
even
says,
in the narrative.
Yeah, it feels like them repositioning them for the move into TV, movies, etc., trying to have a good guy or at least a morally grey as opposed to the outright everyone's evil approach. I would agree with Scott B. You can't really cheer for Space Marines of 10 years ago. Doesn't work. Like, nor should you. You're a wrong un if you are. The one good Marine is a Chaos Marine, and I agree with K-Dread about that. Absolutely. And yeah, I think that's a really good point, Scott B. I agree with you. A couple of questions in the chat I want to answer, if that's okay. Thunderflux has asked, has anyone got any tips on what books or magazines to buy to start a Trogoth army? You really only need the Gloomspike Gits. There is a White Dwarf expansion that you could buy as well, but it really doesn't add anything to the Trogoth army in any way, shape, or form. Plus, it's searchable, and why would you spend, like you can buy it online for like, not, I mean, you find it online for like free, so it's not really worth like finding it out. So yeah, you just need the Gits book is what you need. You could also go get the War Scroll for the Trogoth Princess over on Forge World. Great little book, great little War Scroll, and also an amazing model. Tough Years has asked another question. Is the Glockin any good in Age of Sigmar? The Glockin is brilliant in Age of Sigmar. Like, it's very specific in the build. Oh, brilliant's wrong. Brilliant's wrong. Let me downgrade. I was being too keen. But the Glockin's good. Glockin's got some really strong stuff. Or if you can get the spells off on the Glockin, you're in a really strong place. It's got cheaper now, and you can put it in as an ally. So that's quite good. It's also got the Mortal keyword, so it's got access to the very best spell that you can put onto a unit, which is Blades of Putrefaction. So no, it's not brilliant. That was way too keen, but it's good.
It's usable, right?
It's usable.
You get worth out of it.
Yeah. Pete, I apologize. It adds regenerating Trogoths. Yes. Okay. You could also get the White Dwarf thing. So I apologize about the regenerating.
It gives a purpose to having a Loon Shrine and a Trog only army, whilst before it was just like cool.
It just feels like the War Scroll, the stuff for Trogoths just really felt like the astronauts on the space station have to recycle their own pee. Like, like, yeah, you got some new water, but you knew it's pee all along. Like, that's what I'm gonna say. It's pretty good. Pretty good. So if you are thinking about getting the Glockin, you can go for that. I think that works, if that helps. Trogs are super fun to build. Trogs are also super fun to build, super fun to paint. So if you want to get into Trogs, I'm not in any way dissuading you. Get into them. Have a great time. Don't stop anyone. This is 2021, Rob, John. Yeah? I'm all about
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
yeah. All about it. Because
eventually they might get a bit of a buff. If not, you've had a fun time doing some painting, right? So.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. I mean, you're probably not going to play a game for another, like, 3 to 6 months. So, like, just chill your beans.
Pay That's why I'm like. Painting a Mauler Fiend. I'm like, cool.
I'm at least trying to keep relevant with stuff I want to paint. Ultimately.
Relevant to me.
Well, yeah, I would say that the what's the question in the chat? Oh, okay, you guys are talking about Seeds of Sigmar. Yeah, that makes loads of sense. So, a great little day yesterday doing all the coverage, John. I loved it. I walked away from it again, like, re-remembering why I love doing coverage so much, because it's just a blast. It's just so much fun.
I could tell you were very high energy, which was, it's exciting to see, because...
It was nice not having the stress of, like, having to do too much techie stuff or, like, produce the show at the same time. I was just talking about Warhammer, which is, like, basically the gimmick. And it was great fun. There were some great lists. I think Owen has to pick all of the matches in the future because I picked 2 blowouts and Owen picked the great game. But the blowouts, at least, were kind of fun. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. It's always interesting. You never really can guess because one of the key factors is, you know, you go up and play someone and you're like, I should lose this fight every time. But you have to always account for your opponent doing something completely different to what you would do. Because when you sometimes see two armies play against each other, you're always like, okay, if I was going to play this, this is how it should work out. But sometimes that's not the case. Always add in some random human interaction and dice rolls, and the whole game becomes very fun. I made a diorama in 2020 using my Rotgut Trogoths, Loon Shrine, God Palooza. Would recommend painting any of those things as gimme. Yes, I agree with you. Any of those are very fun to paint. The Loon Shrine will take you about 8 weeks to paint, I think.
That's my next project, actually. Because it's been sat there for so long, I was like, right, I don't want to paint it because it's such a daunting prospect. And that's exactly why it's next on the list.
Yeah.
Just getting it done. I'm trying to do that where I pick stuff that I really have been avoiding and just get it done.
There you go, John. That's it, 2020. Yeah, buckle down. That's what we're doing.
Get the awkward stuff out. And then you're like, actually, that wasn't so bad.
Is that our motto for 2020? Welcome to 2020. Don't worry,
get shit done.
We're getting stuff done. No, we got to say stuff.
I know.
Yeah. Getting stuff done. Not because we can't say that word. It's just, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, sometimes being flavorful with your words is unnecessary.
I don't know. I just don't like the idea of getting poo done. Like, when you start to, like, genuinely imagine it in your brain, you're like, oh, gross. It's not okay.
Well.
Oh, shit. Wait, is it 2020? Damn it, it's 2021. 2021, the year of getting stuff done. Oh, damn it.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I've already had to start really correcting myself with file names as I'm saving things. I'm like, why? What? Oh, God, no, it needs to have a 1 at the end, John. And it's going to take me 6 months to get that.
I think I should be able to get it. It's only the third day. Hi, Kieran Hassan. Hope you're well. It's also Sunday. What day did I say? It was.
I don't know. It's definitely Sunday. It's definitely Sunday because the wife's at work, which she always used to do on Sunday.
Drama. Okay. So, anyone got any questions? I'm painting up Death Guard. So I am now onto my Blight Lord Terminators, if anyone's keeping track
of
my general hobby progress.
What's the loadout on them?
Or just whatever I had. People have just sent me random Death Guard models, like, from the starter boxes. So I've got nine, and I think they come in fives. So, but I'm just painting up what I have, basically.
Dominus 7, narrative.
I'm very, very excited about moving on to doing a Demon Prince sometime soon. But I'm hoping it takes me long enough to get these. It takes me long enough to paint these that I have the resin printer up and running, and I go find myself a sweet ass demon print to go do a demon prince, which would be super fun as well. I did see someone on Twitter as well who said that they were going to do a completely alternate, like 3D sculpted different army to a regular army, and that's also one of my projects for 2021. I want to do an Ogre Moor Tribes army made completely of third party sculpts. And I think that's going to be a very fascinating army to do as well. It's also big, so like that's a big attractive element for me. But there's some really fun designs out there, so that's going to be one of my 2021 projects eventually when I get round to it. And because more tribes are super cool, so why wouldn't you want to, John?
Yeah. So my next Age of Sigmar project I've kind of got the itch for now is doing some Auruk War Clans. But I just want to kind of see what blend I can get without it just being your go-to sort of tournament list. I want to just try to figure out something fun that's a good hobby project and going to be competitive. So it's just kind of like, I don't want to just do big blobs of brutes and Ard Boys. I want to mix in quite a bit of the Bone Splitters as well, because I just think that they're nice models, right? And being able to paint all the feathers and stuff in really nastily bright colours would be quite fun.
How do you guys rate the Bubble Chuck and Met guns? Not very good. Not very high.
I'm actually quite anti them, because in the index they had a really cool mechanic and then they took that away, so fuck them.
Okay, wow.
I used to love that minigame.
Me too. I liked the Bubble Chuckers. Also, telling someone that you were blowing up their vehicle with a Bubble Chucker was hilarious.
Here's four dice and you don't have to make a decision. It was so much fun. It's like, okay.
It was
that really pivot. It tilted people so much. I loved it.
it was super, super fun. So yeah, I loved that. So I don't rate them as much, like John, as they were. But they're fine if you want to get one. How's Ugly Tom? That's another question in the chat.
Ugly Tom is all right. He was actually just messaging me. There we go.
Ugly Tom.
He's a good chap.
Dizrin asks, have you guys seen the new the guy designing Bretonian stunning designs? Yes, I have. They look wild. Absolutely wild. Yeah, there's some really good stuff. There's also a really good like Arabian themed army out there that's just come out this month. I think that's from Titanforge. And they look very exciting as like additional elements to stick into a Lumineth or to stick into the new Sineshi army. Some Sineshi merchants would look super sweet, and some Dijins and some other stuff. So I think that would look really good as well. Rob and John, what are your opinions on the rise of the Dice Check YouTube Twitch channel? It seems some of the older generation of wargamers are pissy gatekeeping on them, but I love their enthusiasm for getting into 40k. And for beginners to be filming bat reps, they're good and learning fast. Gork and Walker, I have watched it. They're very YouTube-y, which I like. I don't really go in for like the YouTube humor, but like they seem like cool guys. And they're like really keen, which is really fun. They've obviously also got like a shit ton of money, which I think is also really, really important. Like, because they're just throwing money at the problem of like learning, which is also super useful as well. But yeah, they seem keen. Have you watched any of it, John?
I saw a bit of, oddly, you sent me a link to one of them yesterday and said, check this out. Because we're often kind of sharing kind of things to be aware of. And it was interesting. I really enjoyed their passion, because to me, there's never too much passion in the hobby. And if people are watching them and that's what they take away from it, is that you can be excited about the hobby, that's a positive.
Agreed. Yeah, I would agree with that as well. I don't have any negatives to add. It was cool. And it looked good as well, which is super fun. Yeah. I think for me, there's an age-old conversation. I've had it time and time again. And it's like, again, been really brought up by... it's by Magikarp, used Fly when streaming League of Legends to 40k. It's like a documentary. Yeah, it's like they've got all that big American production value, and they've got that big American... They also have got that Americanization of it, which I don't love. Like, let's put it that way. However, you can't like insult their enthusiasm. But I will say, and I've said this time and time again, the difference between being a bat repper, and some bat reppers know literally everything and they're super brilliant. So before, that's my caveat before I say the next thing. It's very different. Like, for instance, when we were watching the last game yesterday, when we watched Orkman play. Orkman played with that, played a stunning game of Warhammer with his Orc army that he knows very well. And yeah. I feel like no matter how hard the bat reppers really, really do try to be as good, there's no way that you can capture the brilliance of someone who plays their army very well. You just, because you can't. Like, you're trying to play like 20, 30 armies well, yeah, and understand them. You can understand them a bit, but like, you just don't get those plays. And that's why I love doing live coverage. And I think live coverage is the future, or at least it is for me. So like, both are valid. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. It's why I love that. And the reason that I love that is because really I'm just building a system so that the guy who's great with the army goes and bees great with the army. I think about like amazing games that we've seen in the past when we saw Peter LGT playing against Steve, Flesh Eater Corps versus Daughters of Cain. That was just like this one of those standout games that was just super fun. Like, and they're just But obviously I'm biased. So like before, like if someone jumps in the chat, it's like, well, you fucking would say that, Rob. Like, yeah, of course,
It's a subjective thing at the end of the day. What we all take out of content. I hate to use the term content for it, but it's very different. Like, to me, I can't stand watching battle reports a lot of the time because I find the knowledge can often be very two-dimensional. It's like they're playing the list, but do they understand the list? Do they understand the faction? And that in itself puts me off wasting my time watching it. And
it does.
That's fine. If other people want to watch it and have something like that in the background, and to them it's more about watching a narrative interaction campaign, I think fine, cool. I'll listen to some music, but that's fine. That's me. We're very different. All of us are. So.
Yeah, all of us. Yeah. Everyone does their own thing, and that's super good. Yeah. Valerie, it seems like a lot of people watching. It's like, so now there's a very big difference between. So one of the great things about all these new people jumping over from League of Legends or jumping over from Magic the Gathering, because there's also a bunch of those guys as well. YouTubers getting into 40K, they've obviously recognized it's on the up. So what they've done is they've transitioned over. And what's brilliant about that is we get some high production value videos from people who are already good at making high production value videos, which is brilliant. Yeah. And they also bring over a brand new audience to be part of our community, which is also great. So all of it, you know, there's like the most watched YouTube video on like how to get into 40K is not by like anyone that's been doing 40K lore for years. It's by like some like fucking random Magic the Gathering guy who just like just did some video, right? So there's some absolutely like brilliant stuff being produced by these people, and as our fandom becomes more popular, we shouldn't gatekeep and we should encourage these people. And so I'm all about it. I think it's great, and I hope all these people do better and better as time goes on. So Halilex says they're quite memey. I'm okay with it, but it's hit or miss for me most. Yeah, do you prefer some good old-fashioned British sarcasm? I do. And toilet humour? Yes, I do. what channel is it? So that would be Dice Check, if you want to go check that out. I've listened to your podcast. It's Shazakill. Love your content. I don't know how many Aussie followers you have, but I'm one of them. Thanks, Shazakiller. Yeah,
we
baby.
Now have every Australian Age of Sigmar player is probably listening now, because the numbers seem to be quite high.
Not all of them. Not that one guy. Fuck you, guy. Yeah. The Aussie's great. So thanks, Shazakiller. You're all great. Whereabouts in Australia from? Was that the game with the Rot Loving War Boss? Battlechode, that was the game with the Rot Loving War Boss. That was a great game of Warhammer. And even the other games were good because you got to see the lists play, even if you got to see them play badly, or not played badly by the players. You just got to see them like in a mismatch.
Not have their day. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's important. One of the interesting things about having to do a bat rep is I assume you can't make a blowout happen.
Well, you try not to. I think sometimes that does, depending on the channel. Like, I've watched podcast bat reps before where by turn two it's done, and you're like, maybe they should have had a discussion beforehand and kind of paired up the lists better. But it depends how they're framing the game as well. Because if they're putting it as like we're putting two match play lists together, you'd hope there'd potentially be those sorts of blowouts if they're actually playing hyper competitive stuff, perhaps.
Sometimes there are just blowouts. That's the nature of the game.
Dice betray you.
Not even that. Sometimes you just get some mismatches. That's an important part of like the metagame of like either Age of Sigmar or 40K. Understanding that like mismatch or understanding where that works is also a part of strategy. Like designing those very like cutting edge lists that are able to go and perform well. Those counter meta lists, whatever the situation might be. That's also like a skill set that we have in the community as well. And I think that's also something that really you get from like tournament coverage and live coverage is because you start to understand it's part of like an ongoing narrative of the game. Like a single game in isolation generally to me isn't anything that's overly interesting, especially like if it's a game that's like less than 6 months old, well, more than 6 months old, I'm like, was that before new books and FAQs? So not that it's redundant to me, but like...
It's less meaningful. It's like someone doing a book review and then after that a supplement comes out or a big full FAQ. At that point, it might be completely dated.
To some degrees. Yeah, I agree. MJ Pegasus says, love the Orkman game, but only for the superb play, but also once it became clear who the winner was likely to be. The last half of the game, everyone got behind the story within the game of the Mega Boss on his rock. That was a particularly great moment from that game that
so,
I enjoyed.
So when I watch this back, I'm going to really want a Mega Boss, aren't I?
And a rock. With a pet rock is the key point. I think that my favorite bit about the live coverage is like we get to create these almost meme moments, which are hilarious. I think actually if you type in !! Mega Boss in the chat, I think you will get to, it's now part of the show's lineage.
Oh, like Disco Rat.
Like Disco Rat, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. I miss Disco Rat.
Phileas Grot was a legend. Phileas Grot and Around the Table in 80 Moves was also great. Also, big shout out to Helgemar. I hope you're well. no, Kadren, I don't either.
What about the...
work?
No.
I'm sure I did it.
So that Hellstorm Cannon's crew standing the wrong way, I still to this day remember that from the LGT. I'm just like... Because when you get the Alpha, Rob, you've just got to go in for it, haven't you?
Oh, the Hellstorm Rocket Battery?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, damn it. I'm sure I did that. Oh, the chat. I broke it. Sorry, chat. But yeah, and also, like, eventually when we get popular enough and we have enough money, like, someone like John might be able to, like, turn Mega Boss loving the rock into an image that we can all fall in love with, and it'll all turn into more stuff. As time goes on, so I'm very excited about that. I think commentary and associate banter really helps for me. I tend to find banter a bit of a chore to watch for hours on end. I agree with you, Scott B. Whereas you guys have both useful info when stuff is happening and good chat while people are measuring, moving, checking rules. Thanks, Scott B. I will say that like one of the people that does it best, in my opinion, is the Tabletop Titans guys. And then there's also the guys Gorkamore pointed out, Play on Tabletop also do. They've got their own take on it, so that's very Americanized, cut and shot thing. But I hate that. Like, it's brilliant. Like, it's absolutely brilliant. It's shot so well. Like, there's so many good cutaways. Like, I love it. But, like, I don't want to watch RuPaul's Drag Race plays Warhammer. Like, it's weird. Like, it's a weird... Like, it's weird. Like, it's weird. They're like, and then I thought, oh, he's going to roll the dice. And I was like, I hate this. Like, I fucking loathe this. Why am I watching it? But I have watched it, is the point. For, like, 10 minutes. And then I just turned it the fuck off. Because I never ever want to watch that again. But it's brilliant. It's so good. It's so good. It's so well produced. And if you like it, it'll be the very best version of that that you'll ever see. But it sucks for me personally on a personal level. anyway. Right, yeah, I preach, I don't want reality TV presentation of my fantasy game. Yeah, I agree. See, that's where I think the Mini Wargaming guys have done well. Like, we're into reviewing everyone, apparently. Ignoring their ability for the rules knowledge and ignoring everything else, they've hit on a couple of key premises early, yeah, which was the narrative is super important, and they've always fucking drilled in on that. And whether or not they're like, Winter's SEO is another great example of that. Whenever he would start his competitive bat rep or his good bat rep, he would start off with some sort of, like, tale. He would say, these are the forces that have joined up, and this is why. Like, the story is like intrinsically linked with the game that we play, like more so than League of Legends, more so than Magic the Gathering as well. Like ultimately, like when people try and do like coverage or bat reps or whatever it might be for this, I think we're all still learning, because the key element that we always have to remember is that ours is different to everything else. There are some comparable things, but not the same. Yeah,
that's important. I think having some variation is the spice of life.
It is spice of life. I agree. Tabletop Tactics is also excellent. Listen, everyone who we've mentioned are all brilliant in their own right. And the only time I would say it's just something that's not for me. That's the only say. I don't think there's a perfect fit. And I think everyone can take something from something else. Very excited about doing... I got really hype about coverage yesterday, John. So whenever Owen's going to organise his next TTS event, we'll be there doing the coverage. So I'm very, very excited about that. And hopefully you're going to try and rock out doing some 40k coverage as well sometime soon, which would also be fun. So yeah, loads of fun stuff in the future, which would be good. And then prepping the venue while we're waiting for actual games to start. Are you going to try and get, what, John, you got any plans for what, how prepped you want to be? Like, let's say gaming starts in March, let's say. Yeah. What deadlines, what stuff are you going to give yourself that you've got to get done by March? Set some goals. Right. Let's do it. Setting some goals is good.
So I've got probably about 500, 600 points worth of orcs that I want to get painted in that time frame. And then some of my Khorne stuff. And probably my Drakari that I've got, because they are all smallish projects. So I want to get those sorts of things knocked on the head and like done, because then they're playable. Because to me, I'm not taking half-painted stuff, so... So things like my Khorne Berserkers are on their way already. So I've just got them up on the camera for you. I don't know if you can see them all right, but wee.
Okay.
So I've done Blood Warrior Khorne Berserkers, which I think are fun. So I think those three projects I'd like to get done. And because I'm doing kind of unit by unit, rather than kind of getting distracted. Oh, that was...
Oh my god, off. John! Oh my god, John! Did you drop off?
That was my Drakari just falling off the desk. So hold the show, Rob. I'm just going to not cry. They're all right. I can't see any breakages. Jesus Christ. I was just about to show you them as well. I'm like, oh, I could have saved them.
What do you mean, your Brokari? Brilliant work there, Owen.
There you go. Look, there's two of a full tray. There we go. Right, give me 2 seconds. That's amazing. Oh my god! I think they've got invuln saves. They've not actually taken any damage. Amazing.
I've clipped it, by the way, Twitch chat. I clipped that shot.
My face just went pale as anything at that exact moment.
What do you want me to do, Twitch chat? There's nothing I can do. I can't help him. Yeah. Plus, it was live on. Did you see his cute little face the moment it happened? He was like, oh. Oh no!
I was more worried that something like the whip on the succubus had snapped, but that's fine as well. Everything's fine. So that's a lesson. I'm probably not going to just stack things precariously on top of draw units anymore.
Just have one project on the go. Just have one project on the go at any one time.
You're my dad. The chat.
Thanks, John. Thanks for the best laugh.
I just cheered you up then.
2021 so far. 2021, we're getting it done.
Getting it done. Throwing shit around.
Oh, this has made my day. Thanks, John.
God's sake.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, that's great. I was just I watched on YouTube.
Fine. There you go. Even the net's fine. There we go.
Good. Well, the nets will never break. Diadrine, what did you miss? John just dropped his army. 92. Well, Rob, why do you always laugh at other people's clumsiness? I don't know what to say. I'm clumsy too.
He's clumsy. So clumsy.
Yeah. So that's hilarious. We've all been there. I dropped my newly completed KO frigate a while back. It smashed into as many pieces as physically possible. I'm so sorry, War Machine. We've all done it. Like, you know that grasp of, you know, I sometimes paint like here. Then sometimes I like drop it. And then that gasp that you do, like,
that's what I just did. I felt my soul jump out my body briefly, just in that kind of slight, like, second. Oh my god, I'm sweating. So that's horrible.
Oh my god! Right. See, now that is something I'd pay to see. Is a bunch of, you know, like Ninja Warrior.
Yeah.
But a bunch of guys carrying their Warhammer armies on like trays, doing like an obstacle course. That'd be so tense. That, fuck, Egg and Spoon Race.
That's why it's a magnetic tray. So I trusted it, but I forgot that half of the stuff on it isn't magnetized. Oh, I'm an idiot. So my lovely new Mandrake kit bashes were just.
Right, that should be the halftime show for the WTC. I agree with that. Refos, thanks for resubscribing, you babe. Happy New Year. Going to replace my entire desk with a giant rare earth magnet so I could never drop stuff off. Wait, I accidentally sat on two Arkanaut frigates. Thomas Tall Askin, thank you so much for admitting that. That must have been heartbreaking for you. Age of Sembar dropped his tape measure on a Lariel and it snapped off a spear at Warhammer World. He looked like he'd swallowed a hot turd. I think the worst thing I've ever done is me and Owen play a Warhammer and I threw, you know, the Age of Sigmar tape measure that's metal?
Yeah.
I threw the whole thing into my own face somehow.
I remember.
Like, cut my eye open and I was like bleeding. Like, I was like playing Warhammer with Owen, like with a bleeding eye. People were like, what's happened? I was like,
Owen did
it. Get deep struck by him. I bent over Teclis and bent his sword at a 90-degree angle. Oh, no. My first tournament, I dropped a Zangor in light and then stepped on it. Oh, shit. That's not good. I'm going to make a Duncan Rhodes carry case today. You've inspired so many people, John. Everyone in the chat is like, do you know what? I'm going to go securely organize my miniatures today.
Well, normally it's a great thing because, look, magnetizing stuff, it's great. If that falls, it's fine. Look, bit of shake and bake. No, it's
fucking brave.
No, because these are good magnets, and I'm using some good glue.
Oh, wow. Hawkeye, I broke Steve Wren's Archeon at Sheffield Slaughter. Oh, that would have looked really nice, and that would have been really annoying and upsetting. I've never dropped anyone else. I've never broke anyone else's model. That would probably be worse. What would you prefer, John? Breaking someone else's model or just like obliterating one of your own?
Obliterating my own, because I don't even like touching other people's models, because I know that if something goes wrong, I'd feel dreadful, because the amount of time people put into their models can be quite bonkers when you think about it. Just no. Hot sweats thinking about it.
Several people break my models. See, this is the biggest problem about Age. Actually, this is something we need to talk about 2021, going back to real life gaming. The biggest problem we're all going to have is there's going to be a lot of Lumineth armies on the tabletop, and we are all going to accidentally break their spears. They are going to do it. We're going to do it. Everyone's going to do it. It's not our fault. Like, there needs to be a warden's amnesty, armistice. I don't know what any of those words mean, but there needs to be
up at the beginning of the game. It's part of the code of conduct. You say, if I touch one of your spears and it breaks, it's
your
not
spears,
my fault.
Your problem. That's what I say. Yeah, right? It's too much because they're a billion inches long. Like, how am I meant to get into base to base cohesion with it? Like, what did you expect me to do? It's going to be a disaster. You're not going to be able to play Warhammer properly at all. The worst I've seen is someone drop a Typhon at Warhammer World Heresy event. The bloke who dropped it went outside and cried. Oh my god. Oh my god. That's heartbreaking. I've broken my mate's converted model with a fat belly knocking off the table. K-Dread, so sorry. People are going to be out of practice and there's going to be some heavy-handed monsters crushing elves. Stu Flynn, I agree. Yeah. People are going to be like, Hulk smash.
There's probably going to be a lot more. So when I went to, in the summer between the lockdowns, I went to a COVID kind of an event where masked up, social distance and stuff, and everyone was like, use your own tape measures and all that sort of stuff. Do you think we're going to see more of that kind of become standard practice? Like people not trying to use each other's dice and stuff actively? So you're trying to use those, whether that stuff will carry on even.
No one uses each other's dice, do they?
Well, people quite often just pick up a random dice, and that annoys me. It really annoys me.
Yeah, excuse you. you're a bit on the spectrum, John.
Like, stop licking my dice.
You're troubled by the smallest thing, apart from organisation, apparently. So you dropped all your models.
Oh, do not shoot shots at me about organisation, young man.
I agree with everyone. Games Workshop should do replacement spear packs. Otherwise, it's going to be a disaster. My dice are cursed. I can't let anyone else touch them. It's irresponsible. I don't think anyone should touch anyone's dice.
Yeah.
Before COVID, I'm not okay with that.
It's bad practice as much as anything. Because if someone hasn't got enough dice, they're not prepared well enough for the game. They don't deserve to be able to make the roll.
What do you mean? What?
So if someone turns up and they've only got 10 dice, and they're like, oh, can I borrow a couple of dice because I need to roll 14? I'm like, well, you should be more prepared.
But someone doesn't have more than 13 dice. Who are they?
Idiots.
Agreed.
Disorganized idiots. Not named Ugly Tom.
Dice do you actually take, though? How many dice do you actually take?
I normally take 40 dice with me at the moment wherever I go. Because I don't need more than that. When I'm playing Orcs, I have a whole bag. But I try to not carry too many dice. Because I found when I took all my dice, it was just unnecessary.
I take a bag of dice, which I think must run to about like 100, 120 dice. Obviously, don't use them all, but I have plenty. But I don't, like, I was thinking about this the other day, what's like the most efficient, effective setup as well, and like how many, because I was thinking about getting all the same dice, because it is easier to like keep track when you're trying to like speed roll.
So I've got 4 sets of 10 dice in my dice tray. That's how I've got it set, so I can just pick up the dice and just go, right, that's the 10 ready. So it's about speed as well.
Agreed. It's the most frustrating thing, says Cuss, when you roll wounds and then people automatically pick them up to roll saves. No, they're my dice. Fuck off.
I haven't seen you wash your hands. You came straight out of that toilet very quickly. I didn't hear the hand dryers go on. No thanks.
Stu Flynn says, dice are like condoms. Better to have them and not need them than slide in fire... fine with lube. they slide in fine with lube. Good. Thanks,
okay.
Jesus Christ. A hot mess of multicolored dice triggers me. OJ, I've always run the hot mess of multicolored dice.
Yeah.
I feel like it's been a good representation of my life. I feel like 2020 and 2021 might be the year where I finally synchronize all my dice into a unified fashion where they're all going to be the same and they'll all be Lumineth dice. Identical.
Piss dice.
No, not the yellow dice, the hexagonal dice. Did you forget about those? Well, not hexagonal, that's wrong.
I'm trying to forget. The ones that look like bones. They're knuckle bones, right?
Are they sectagonal? Is that right?
6 plus the ends. I don't know how many sides the ends have each got, so there's loads.
Custom printed dice, cool or waste of dosh? Custom printed dice. So like ones we sell for those Wargamer. I think they're cool. I think having
engraved over printed, 100%, because printed ones are very unbalanced.
Yeah, I think also a really fun idea would be to like have dice for a season. Like, you know, like
give one to your opponent.
Yeah, I break the year up now. So January through to summer, so like July is basically season, is one half of the season. Then July to Christmas is the other half of the season. That's how I break up every Warhammer year now. Or every Warhammer year. Every year. They're not all Warhammer years, Rob. You're not mental. Okay, just had a word myself.
Yes, you are.
Just got back to that. Just got back to that. That's fine. right? And then you just... And then you can maybe have, like, these are my dice for this season. And then next season, get yourself some new dice. Yeah? Like, maybe to match your army. Whatever you want. Any of that. I have dice from many gaming clubs I play against as well, Mamdare. But then that's my problem. I end up with this, like, multitude of dice. And also, that's also a bit awkward as well, because, you know, sometimes you pick up a dice for a priority roll or something, and then someone eyeballs you, which is why I normally just put a bunch of dice in front of my opponent, and I say, you pick a dice for me to roll priority with. So then that way, they know that, like, they've chosen out of my pre-selected set of weighted dice, so that, like, but they feel like they've had some agency in the situation, John.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Brown Dwarf and White Winter. What? Go on.
Traditionally, I use my Swedish Age of Sigmar team moose dice for priority or going first, so that if it's a 6, I get to scream on the top of my lungs, moose.
Okay.
And that's become a thing. I don't know why. I just enjoy doing it. It's just fun. Just anything to really diffuse the situation or make my opponents seem a little bit more awkward.
All right, well, listen, gents, we've overrun by a while.
I've got a ton
to do today. Very excited about my day.
Yeah, I've got lots to do too.
You guys are great. Don't forget to join me and Owen tomorrow for the Age Sigmar Stat Center, the first of the year. That's right, we're back, baby. 2021. Tournament results are going to start to pile in. This will be our first one of the year. Very much looking forward to all the results for 2021 as time goes on. See what's cracking off around the world. See how the meta changes. Looking for the new version of Age Sigmar. It's going to be fun. Me and the guys are going to be back on both Monday evening and obviously Thursday evening. Me and the guys have not been able to do the Thursday evening for a couple of weeks, obviously, because of Christmas Eve and it being New Year's Eve and all those other things. So very excited about the Thursday show, joined by Nick and Tom again. Stats, the Age Sigmar 40K adjacent show is going to be back. Loads of cool shows coming up. So don't forget to join us. Oh, and Breakfast Battles back as of Wednesday morning. Tuesday morning.
Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday or Friday, depending on how you go.
Don't know which one it's going to be, but it's going to be one of those. So it's going to be fun. So thanks to everyone on Patreon who supports the show. You guys are great. Literally couldn't live without you. Everyone who supports, 9 a.m., Stu Flynn. Same to everyone in the Twitch chat. You guys are brilliant. Thanks for subscribing, being part of the show. You guys are brilliant. Thanks for everyone listening to the podcast. Please stay hydrated. That's it, John. Let's get going. Have you got any shout-outs you want to say?
Shout-out to Mamdare, because I miss his beautiful, beautiful bastard face.
He should be back next week. He should. Gersey says, moose are dangerous animals. It's wise to learn to shout when you see one, says Gersey. So there you go, John. You've learned out. Scott B, peace out. Happy New Year to everyone. Hope you all smash it. See you soon. See you tomorrow is when I'll see you. Let's go tomorrow. See you. Join me midday, every day. Let's go. I want to, let's do this.
Yeah.
Big love.
I'll be here.
See you soon.